Well, part of my ministering and working space has been with the Bible College ACOM, and when I would go over to our staff functions each year, often I would speak with a friend of mine who was my boss, Neil, and Neil would sit down afterwards and we'd just be nattering away about non-work stuff, and we'd talk about parenting and family life, and he would have a phrase that he would use in terms of parenting with his kids around good, better, and best. And he would talk about the fact that there is the good, and he would talk about being better, and he'd talk about best in the way that he interacted with his kids. And he'd say, you know, if you've done something wrong, it's good to acknowledge it. It's better if you go and say sorry for it, and it's best if you go and make amends for it. And so this good, better, best concept was around. And so we want to read the scripture today, and I want you to remember the good, the better, the best as we read this today. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 46 and 49. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 6. We've been going through the book of Luke, and in Luke chapter 5, we heard last week the great story of the leper and Jesus reaching out. And today we're going to read from Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. As we read that scripture today, we read that second part of the starting word. It comes straight out of the gate. He says, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Here we have people who are saying, I acknowledge you, Lord, as my Lord. I acknowledge you, Jesus, for being God, but actually I'm not doing anything that you say. And what Jesus is wanting to address here, it's not good just to hear the word of God, but actually doing the word of God is actually where transformation happens. Doing the word of God is actually where you put God as the high priority in your life. Actually working out the things of God in your own life is what Jesus is referring to you. But as he refers to this story, he's coming at the end of a three-story run. We know that as we read through Luke, there's a whole lot more than we're able to preach through on a Sunday, and we're picking sections out that stand out to us. But this comes at the end of a three-story run around judging others, a tree and its fruit, and the wise and the foolish builder. And the round judging others, it says this in 41. He's talking to the people who are following him, and he says this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself failed the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly and remove the speck from your other's eyes, from your own eye, your brother's eyes. What he's talking about here is judging others. He's talking about the way that we look at others, and we can very easily identify in one another what their issues are. We can very easily identify they need to grow in that area, they need to work on that, and if they get that right, then life will be a whole lot better for all of us. And what he's saying is, hey, in Scripture, this faith business is not about the ability to point to other people's wrongs, but actually to allow God to transform us and to change us. Verse 41 says, before worrying about everyone else's focus on what God is wanting to clear up in your own life. And it's much easier, isn't it, to point out what's happening in other people's lives. I find that much easier than actually doing the hard work of saying what God might be doing in my life. What's he wanting me to fix up? Because if you ask me, I'm pretty good. And if more people in this world were just like me, wow, how much easier would it be, hey? So much easier. But afraid they're not. And so God needs to work on them and shape them and work on them. And so if you could find that out and do that, we would all be happy. That's the way humans work. And by pointing at everyone else, we actually defer what God wants to do in here. We actually hold it at arm's length. And God's saying, hey, this faith is not about judging others, but actually allowing him to come and work in you. There's an old saying that when you point at somebody else, there's always three fingers pointing back at you. So as much as one finger there, three times as much needs to happen in here. The point is, this is a faith is not just about pointing out the errors in others, but growing in Christ-likeness yourself. That's his first story. Then he goes on to his second story about tree and its fruit. And it says, we recognize a tree by what fruit comes out of it. So we know it's an apple tree. Why? Because there are apples. This is good. You guys are good at this. We know it's an orange tree because there are oranges. A tree is known by the fruit that it produces. So the fruit that you and me produce out of our life lets us know what's happening on the inside of us. A righteousness cannot come out of a body that is not internally righteous. When you put oranges, I don't think anyone's ever done this, but if you were to put an orange in a vise is a workbench in a shed, and you put a piece of wood in it and you wind up, it holds it in position, but you can keep winding that until it won't go any further. But if you take something like an orange and you put it in the vise and you keep winding and keep winding, pretty soon you'll find out under pressure what's on the inside of that orange as it hits the walls around you. We are a little bit like oranges. Put us in the pressure of life, and what's on the inside will start to come out on the outside. We put so much effort into looking a certain way on the outside, doing the right thing and doing all the things, and we work so hard that that person might think that I'm a good person and I'm gentle and kind, but we'll only find out about the real me when the pressure is on. But when the pressure is on, you will find out about the real me on the inside as it splatters out all over everyone in a vomitous way that is within range of me. Similarly, Jesus says in John 23, verse 26. Matthew 23:26. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, blind Peter, blind person of faith. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Your actions, your external life is guided by your internal life. So what Jesus is saying, what are the settings on the inside that are setting your life that the externals would match the internals? What are you doing to make sure on the inside that you are changing from the inside out? And then he comes to this third story, the one that we read today about the person who builds their life on the rock. And he's talked about how our faith is not about pointing out others, but it's about changing on the inside. And he's talked about, actually, if you want to be good on the outside, you've got to change what's on the inside. And then he comes to these two guys and he says, the one who does the word of God, who doesn't just hear the word of God, but does the word of God, is like the person who builds their house on the rock with a deep foundation. But the one who hears the word of God and doesn't put it into action is like someone who builds on the sand, and when the wind blows and the storms come, then their life has no substance, no structure, no standing. Notice the difference is not in the hearing. They both hear the word of God. They both get the word coming over them. They both attend church where the word is preached every Sunday. They both attend a group where the word is discussed every week. They both have access to unlimited scripture. But one puts it into action and one just hears it. The one who hears it and does it, it says here, is like the person who builds their house on the rock. It has deep foundations on the rock, and when the wind came and the rain blew, as they do in life, and we all know they do come, the rain coming and the wind blowing is not talking about yesterday. It's metaphorical language for the troubles of life. When they come, they will not be moved. But that didn't just happen because he heard the word of God. He understood the theologies of the word of God. He understood the doctrines of the word of God. No, it happened because he actually put it into action. There's a difference between knowing doctrine and theology and actually living out that, trusting God with the word of that. There's a scripture in John 8, 31, verse 32 that talks about this. And the Jewish people are arguing about who are the real children of God and who are the real Jews. And Jesus says this to them in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you hold on to my teaching, the truth will set you free. Jesus says, if you are my disciples, you will, other scriptures might say, abide in me. Other scriptures might say, follow my words. Live as I am telling you. That's what he's saying if you read different things. You'll know the truth and it will set you free in its doing. We all love that scripture that says, the truth will set you free. I say it all the time, the truth will set you free. But the context of what's actually being saying, it's not just the truth that will set you free. It's not just the understanding of the truth. It's actually putting the truth into action. It's actually abiding in the truth, living out what he's telling you in the truth. It's actually doing it that sets you free. And that's the truth of the scriptures. It comes to life as you put it into action. See, it's one thing to understand it, to know it, to debate it, to discuss it, to pontificate on it. It's another thing to actually trust it enough as the word of God to say, I will put this into action. To say, this is what God says about finances. I will put that into action, this being generous and giving to others. I'll put it into action. About living with love towards our neighbors, even those that don't love us. Until I put that into action, there's no transformation in my life. I can know about it, I can read about it, I can tell everyone else about it. But until I put it into my life, there's no actual transformation. And when we abide in the Word of God, what Jesus is saying here, is actually then and only then are our lives on a firm foundation. So that when the wind blows, because there's something about living out the action. There's something about putting it into space. Jesus says, the other guy, heard the word of God and didn't put it into action. And he is like someone who builds his house on the sand. Many of you have seen the pictures of the Lancelin Hotel lately. I'm sure the actual hotel has good foundations, so don't take the story out too far. Ring your friend who owns the Lancelin pub and say you should have built it differently. But we see the sand being blown away, eroded away, and now what was 50 meters from the building is now only meters from the building because the sand moves. And when we action the faith, we are like someone who builds their house on the sand, the shifting sand. It has no foundation. The key here, what Jesus is saying, is that we actually need to put it into action. There's a survey group that comes out of the US called Real Survey. And in the Real Survey data on Gen Z that's coming out of America, Gen Z is our 14 to 29 year olds at the moment. So if you are one of these people, you're in Gen Z, which is great. Thank you for being in Gen Z. You didn't have much choice in it, but you're doing well. And it said that Gen Zs are gathering more than any other generation in America, gathering at church events, church gatherings, church Bible studies. They're gathering more than any other generation around it. So they attend more than anybody else. That's awesome. That's exciting that Gen Z will be attending more than any other generation. It should be an encouragement to all of us, and it should be an enthusiasm to all of us. But it also says this, that of those attending, 43% say that the Bible has not made a significant change in the way that they live their lives. So here's what we're saying, is that more and more are attending church, attending groups, but what they're actually learning about, what they're actually studying, is not changing or has little impact on the way that they choose to live their life. Can I say, I don't know that that's just a Gen Z problem. It's just they're leading the pack. I think that's an all of us problem. That we can come and we can gather and we can meet and we can discuss, and but unless we put it into action. And so it's not a hammer on Gen Z, it just amplifies the point that you can attend more than anyone else, but if you don't allow it to impact your life, I wonder what's happening. Now, in a communal sense like this and in a community of believers, we need each other. Gen Z are attending more than anyone else. That's fantastic. We need their encouragement and their zeal and their enthusiasm. But if you're in another generation and you're putting it into action, they need you to be showing and talking about and living out how you put the faith into action. And that's not just telling the stories of success and triumph. It's talking about the stories of hardship and determination and putting the things of God in your life. But many of you from different generations have lived lives where you have stood on the Word of God and you've put it into action. You're only here today because you decided to trust God with the Word of God in your life. And you'll have testimonies about how you got through this section of life because you actually put this into action. Can I tell you, that is a testimony that will change people's lives. And so if you are here today and you go, well, I'm not Gen Z, so I don't turn up as much as them. We need you because you're the ones who've got through life by following this. So you've got a story to tell, a testimony to shout for it, and something to give. And what the other Gen Z have got to give you is enthusiasm. To say, you know, the scripture says, don't grow weary of meeting together. They're the ones who'll go, you look tired, and I know you've come to 55 years of these things, but it's fun. It's good. We need them. We talk about having the wisdom of age with the enthusiasm of youth. We all need it all. But that stat is quite alarming. That people could come to church more and more, but not let the Word of God impact what they do more and more on a Monday to Friday. I've got to tell you, I love coming to church. I love a bit of a coffee afterwards. I love a chat. I love worship. I'm assuming you do because you turned up on a cold morning. But this is not impacting the way we live. There's other places to get coffee. I just saw someone mouth better coffee. I will not point them out. priceless. It's not just knowing more knowledge, more doctrine, more theology that changes the person. It's the action upon that knowledge. It's the action upon that doctrine. It's the action upon that theology. Authentic, real action faith transforms and inspires. Transforms and inspires. Can I say that all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, instructing, encouraging? It's what it tells us in 1 Timothy. So we can trust it to guide our lives. So let me say this, it's good if you attend a faith gathering. Really good. Good on everyone today. You all get a gold star. It's good to attend a faith gathering. It's better if you read your word. And it's best if you then put that into action. It's good, it's better, and it's best. Good on you for being here. Better if you read your word. Best if you put that into action. So what are these three stories telling us? Stop pointing at everyone else's faults first. Focus on God allowing you to clean you. Focus on allowing God to clean you from the inside out. And as he's doing that, put what he says into action. That's what we get as we read these stories today. Let me pray for you and encourage you as we step out of this space today. Heavenly Father God, I thank you that you are the one and only, the one who is worthy to be praised, the one who is worthy to be lifted up. We thank you that you are Lord of all. And Father, today as we've heard about Bible Society, but we've also heard about your word, we are so blessed to have the word of God. We're so blessed to have you speak through the scriptures to us. We're so blessed to have the ability to shape doctrine and theology out of the words that come off these pages. We're so blessed to have your Holy Spirit enlighten them. We're so blessed to have the Holy Spirit speak directly to us. But today, Father, may we be a people who put that into action. May we be the people, Lord, who build our house on the rock, that when the storms and the winds of life come, that we have structure and that we have foundation. Father, I pray over every single person here, Lord, that today you would continue to grow their faith and their trust in you, that those actions would feel natural to them, Father. They would be able to have their trust in you because you are trustworthy. Your word is true. So, Father, for boldness, for courage over every single person here today, Lord, not just to know the word, but to do the word, to live it out in the easy situations, but even more in the hard situations, that we might be people who declare the goodness of God with our lives because we've decided to live our lives built on the word of God. I pray that over every single person here today, Lord, that they would be refreshed, that they would be renewed, and that they would be encouraged, Lord, to continue to build their lives on the rock, to step out in trust and in faith in you this week. In your mighty name we pray. We want to bless you, Lord. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet.